Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 8:57 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 25th, and I think today it's important to look at the Treasury yield. It closed below 2%, and that was following the statements made by Jay Powell today, where initially the stock market sold off, perhaps because his statement wasn't quite as dovish as people were anticipating, but it was nonetheless dovish, and nothing has really happened to question the conclusion that the Federal Reserve is going to be cutting interest rates next month. Perhaps the biggest underlying uncertainty is whether they're going to say anything about the pace with which they're contracting their balance sheet, and whether they're willing to stop that early rather than in September. I thought this was an interesting. There was an interesting graphic. I'm going to post it in comment of the day today from a BCA research, where they list on one side of a seesaw all of the factors that should contribute to a rate cut, and then you that act really as threats to the global economy, to the U.S. economy, to the health of the stock market expansion, and then the reliance of the stock market strength on the assumption that we're going to get interest rate cuts. What I find particularly interesting is when you go through that entire list and all the things that people are worried about, a large number of them are internationally oriented. That's one thing, that when we look at PMI indices, it is now at 50 in the USA. But it's starting to turn, for example, in France. It's now back above 50. We're starting to see things like the Baltic Dry Index, which has in fact been rallying for most of this year. It has not succumbed to the selling pressure that we've seen in other markets. And that's reasonably important. The rising shipping rates is, and particularly against a background where this measure has been really very depressed for a long time because of the quantity of ships that are currently sailing. The fact that this is starting to improve is positive. Then we have the fact that copper prices have also started to steady from the lower side of their range. There's the potential here that we're at the trough in terms of global economic growth. We still have the potential that the Federal Reserve is going to cut interest rates. So there is a short-term overbought condition on Wall Street, and I think that more than any other factor is the reason why it was a little softer in here today, that we just are in need of some consolidation in the region of the previous peak. Perhaps the most important point, though, is that there has been a distinct absence of clear downward dynamics, particularly relative to the size of the upper dynamics that we've seen over the course of the last few weeks. Now, one of the other points, of course, is the dollar has been quite oversold over the last few days. But we can see, for example, in here today that it was not quite able to hold all of its rally against the euro. Then the yen has also really been quite firm. And this was a modest move off the lows in here today for the dollar. So we'd certainly have some short-term oversold conditions evident for the dollar, and perhaps most acutely against the Swiss franc, which had come right back down to test the lows that we saw back in January, and we're starting to see some steadying. But again, this is not the kind of clear upward dynamic, similar to the kind of dynamics, for example, that we saw in January, that would really signal that there's short covering underway or that people are getting panicky about their long positions in the dollar. This really doesn't look like anything other than some consolidation. It would really require a big upper dynamic or upside key like we saw in January to really confirm that we're back in a dollar-dominated environment. Against a background where the Federal Reserve is going to be cutting interest rates and the USA has signaled quite clearly that they've had enough of a strong currency, well then, people are going to start thinking about, well, if the dollar is going to weaken, what's going to strengthen? Well, there is a real possibility that we're going to see some money starting to flow back into some of the Asian economies. And the Asia dollar index was in mildly negative territory in here today, but it has been up in a dynamic manner over the course of the last while. when, for example, we look at the Taiwan dollar, which is coming back now to test the region of its trend mean, and it was a little softer in here today, but that was a dynamic move that we saw last week. Or when we look at, for example, the Korean won, or indeed the Thai baht, they have all strengthened pretty impressively, and they've almost now completely unwound their overextensions relative to the trend mean. So this is the sort of do or die moment for these, that they're either going to now extend their strength against the dollar, and the dollar will break down below its trend mean against these currencies. Well, then that would be a green light for investors to start really thinking about looking at some of these stock markets, because they haven't been doing particularly well. They certainly haven't been performing as well as Wall Street has. But if you could have the currency in your favor and the prospect of picking up some yield along the way, then there is the possibility that these markets are going to start attracting attention once more. And it's been a while since there was a clear upward bias to emerging markets. The Thai index, though, has now broken its sequence of lower rally highs evident over the last year and a half. Then when we think about India, well, the rupee has been really quite steady. And a steady rupee is generally conducive to people being reasonably interested in the market, and the Nifty remains one of the few indices that is still in the region of its peaks. Now, one of the other currencies that has been conspicuous with its strength has been the New Zealand dollar. And here we have it steadying from the 65 cent level. So that did not push down to a new low in the same way, for example, that the Australian dollar had. And then the New Zealand 50 gross index is one of the few markets in the world that is continually pushing on to new all-time highs. This continues to be one of the most consistent trends in the world, albeit somewhat overextended in the short term. Well, then when we think about some of the other emerging markets, well, there is the real prospect in Brazil that the Bolsonaro administration are going to push through social security reforms. And that is no small feat. And the stock market has been rallying on the back of that. But we did see some profit-taking coming through in here today. And when we think about the really impressive advance we've had since that bounce from the region of the trend mean about 6 weeks ago, well, we know that we are due at least some consolidation, but a sustained move below the trend mean would really be required to question that this isn't still an impressive uptrend. Then when we think about the Russian market, well, the CRTX was also in negative territory in here today, but and it does have a somewhat of a short-term overbought condition, but this still remains, or it looks like, a recovery candidate. And whereas the ruble hasn't exactly been the strongest currency in the world over the last decade, it is now trading below its trend, or the dollar is trading below its trend mean, and the ruble is moving on to new highs over the course of at least the last 7 or 8 months. So there is definitely a bid being caught here by the ruble, not least because they have got so much gold. And Russia has been accumulating gold when it was low. So that is helping to support their currency. And the gold price is above the $1,400 area. Now, it has not held on to all of its advance in here today, and not least because the dollar has been somewhat steadier. But gold has been up now for 6 consecutive days. There is something of a short-term overbought condition, and now the question is, where are we going to see this consolidation occur? I've been saying now for at least the last few weeks that the most important thing was not whether it encountered resistance at the $1,350 area, it is its ability to consolidate above the $1,350 area, which will really hammer home the point that we are in a new medium-term demand-dominated environment for gold. It has been looking like that now for quite some time. This continues to be an impressive breakout, and it is also starting to now take the gold shares with it. And gold shares have broken their downtrend. And despite the fact that we had some weakness in here today, now the question is, are they going to find support in the region of the trend mean? I'd rather think that that is a more likely than not possibility. Now, one thing, of course, that we do need to pay attention to is the fact that when we look at some of the internal dynamics of the economy, well, the underperformance of the small caps with the Russell 2000 is certainly noteworthy. Then the underperformance of the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index is also noteworthy. It has at least steadied from the region of the trend mean, but it needs to do more than that. It really does need to sustain a move above the 1400 area to really confirm that this is a consolidation in the region of the previous peaks rather than a failed upside break. So it's still touch and go for the semiconductors index. And then we have the banking sector. Well, if the Federal Reserve is going to cut rates, then that's not especially great news for banks. They're already contending with narrow margins, and particularly with a yield curve that is very flat. Then, if you start to reduce the absolute level of interest, then that is going to create a challenge for profitability. And this is still a downtrend. It has been going down now since the beginning of 2018. It is still below the trend mean. The 300 area has been an area of support now twice this year. And ideally, it's going to have to hold that level in order to really confirm that we can give the benefit of the doubt to at least some consolidation. So I think that's rather important. Then, for example, when we look at what's going on in Europe, well, Europe's nominal performance has been flattered over the course of the last few years by the weakness of the euro. Well, the big question now for the Euro Stoxx index is whether it is capable of holding this 350 area during any consolidation that might occur. Europe seems to be picking fights with its neighbors left and right, and well, obviously, Europeans would categorize it rather differently, but the treatment that Switzerland is receiving, and perhaps more accurately, the difficulty with which Switzerland ha or has in trying to pass a treaty negotiated with the EU is very similar to the difficulty that the British Parliament are having in passing a similar type of deal. The fact of the matter is that Europe tends to be rather protectionist, that they talk about free trade when it's in their interests, but many of the actions they pursue tend to be rather protectionist. And that is something that Wilbur Ross from the USA has been talking about when he talks about negotiating with Europe. So perhaps Europe is following an intransigent negotiation path with the longer term view of trying to negotiate a trade deal with the USA and is risking its relationship with Switzerland in the process. But what I find particularly interesting is that we are talking about the end of the week when the Swiss stock market will be delegitimized by the Europeans, and yet the SMI is one of the few markets that has been able to push on and up into new high ground. And it was a little softer in here today, but again, not in a particularly dynamic manner. I think when we think about what's going on, well, we have the potential here that we've had a growth scare. Now we have to also consider that we are in the first half of the third year of the US presidential cycle, and a growth scare is right on schedule. What generally happens next is that the Federal Reserve eases up, and That is looking like an increasingly likely scenario. Well, generally speaking, the second half of the first of the third year, excuse me, is one of the better performers, and the fourth year of the presidential cycle is the best in terms of the 4-year cycle in terms of performance. So that does help to bolster the case that we are on the cusp of the bubble phase of this advance, because on a valuation basis, the stock market is no longer cheap, depending on how you categorize it, whether it is with a Case Shiller PE ratio or whether you just look at historic PEs, then there is scope here for further margin, excuse me, further valuation expansion. And that could quite easily be driven by the expectation of additional interest rate cuts, the potential for Europe to go for negative rates, the potential for Japan to try and rescue its economy by moving towards additional stimulus. And then, of course, you have the fact that China has got financial companies going to the wall on practically a daily basis. And the one big unknowable is what the natural default rate is for the Chinese corporate bond sector. But I'd think anybody with any sense knows that if companies have been buying their own bonds in an effort to increase demand for an issuance, then that kind of Ponzi scheme is eventually going to come back and bite them. Well, that is, I think, potentially what we're starting to see now. Then you had the fact that three of China's bigger banks were sanctioned in here today for breaking North Korean sanctions. So that's an additional headwind. And then, of course, you have the massive debt loads that some of these banks have accumulated and their inability to raise funding on a scale similar to what they had when they were accumulating that debt. So those represent some rather significant challenges that don't really show up in the stock market because the vast majority of these regional banks are not listed. And I think if we start to really play forward how this bull market might eventually end, it's probably going to be in these non-listed financial entities. In China, it's the regional banks where they've accumulated massive debts and they are going to have an inability to refinance, and we're seeing an increasing number that can't even make coupon payments. Then the shadow banking sector in the USA has increased in size really quite considerably in terms of the non-bank lending market, and private equity certainly falls into that. Well, we're seeing an increasingly large number of IPOs coming through, and that is also representative of latter stage late stage activity. So I do think that with now the potential for commodity prices to rally in a rather impressive manner, led by gold, perhaps not so much by oil prices, but quite likely led by gold, then that is generally another late stage phenomenon that you get an increasingly impressive rally by commodity prices. And that is something that is very sensitive to global growth and global liquidity. Eventually, when we do start to see the central banks of the world try to tighten once more, valuations will be a lot higher than they are now. And it's at that point that we really need to be worried about a recession. But I do think that at the moment, there is the scope that we are not quite there yet in terms of the recession risk, that there is the scope that the Federal Reserve is going to be preemptive, that they're going to start cutting rates before it becomes a real big problem. And that we do move into a mania phase first. But the most important thing is that we monitor the consistency of trends, that we can have all the theories in the world that we want, but if they are not supported by the price action, well, then we have to change the theory because the price action doesn't lie. And I think that is perhaps the most important thing to bear in mind, particularly in this part of the cycle. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.